Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps.
Yes, we must take America back. I've always loved the lyrics to that song. But folks, if you're waiting for that to happen, if you're waiting for the American people to take back America, forget it, because it's not going to happen. And I'm going to delve into that today, and I have got a little bit of groundwork to take care of here before I jump into that. But I'm probably going to make a lot of people angry today, because America is not failing because of a crooked, corrupt government. America is failing because there's 330 million people who put up with a crooked, corrupt government. Not only put up with it, but support it with their money, with their time, and with their vote. We'll get into that a little bit bigger here in just a little bit larger scale here in just a moment. But this is the National Intelligence Report for the 27th day of October in the year of 2023. And folks, I'm here, thank goodness, that I have a slot here with Republic Broadcasting Network. And we have the ability to bring you the truth. Now, I know there's, 300 and some million of you people out there that the last thing you want to hear is the truth when it comes to this type situation, because you would rather run and stick your head in the sand and pull it out tomorrow so you can watch college football. But as far as your country, the thing that really bothers me is when I sit and watch the American public, and here we are, people with children and grandchildren, and we have no idea what they're going to have to endure, but we need to be entertained. We don't need to do anything to stop what's going to happen to our children and grandchildren, but we do need to be entertained. So you folks, you loyal supporters of Republic Broadcasting Network, go to republicbroadcasting.org. Hit that donate button. Find out a way, whatever you can afford, it's appreciated, I promise you, to keep free speech flowing and a platform for free speech. Because there's people out there as we speak right now trying to destroy alt media. I'm fully aware of that, and I know that. And the progress they're making just absolutely scares the hell out of me. But it's happening anyway. So folks, get out there and support RBN. Find a way. You can, call them up on the phone. You can make the donations that way. You can send in snail mail. You can wrap cash up in aluminum foil, whatever you like to do, and send it in. Because free speech is rapidly going away. And they are working diligently to make it happen as we speak. So here we go, folks. And the thing I wanted to start with today is I wanted to go back to, when I first began to see something was terribly wrong in this country. And what prompted that for me was I was all, yay, yay, let's stand sing America the Beautiful. Let's pledge allegiance to the flag. And let's sing the Star-Spangled Banana. Let's make sure that we get all of this stuff out there. Pledge allegiance. Do all of this patriot stuff. Hang a flag outside your house. Do all of this. I was one of those. Early 80s, something happened to me. that really bothered me. And that was the seed that caused, you know, whatever you want to blame me for today, that's what caused it. And the issue was prisoners of war and missing in action. When I began to see that this government, and stop and think about this, folks, when you go down there and sign up and join the United States military, you're writing the United States government a check, which could be up to and including your life. You're volunteering to put everything on the line for this government. Shouldn't that government put everything on the line for you? Or are we, even today, what Henry Kissinger described in the 60s, military men are just poor, dumb animals, fit only for foreign policy. Now, you might say, well, that crazy guy, you know, blah, blah, blah. How many of you people know that Henry Kissinger was an advisor for 11 straight presidents? 11. Both parties. Even after he had said that in the 60s, everyone wanted Henry Kissinger's advice about this, about that, about the other. He was very much involved with Russia. We know that. He was a friend of Vladimir Putin. We know that. And we know he just turned 100 years old recently, and, you know. But he was an advisor for 11 straight presidents. What does that tell you? Do you think it really made a difference when you voted, ran down and voted for the R, or ran down and voted for the D, or ran down and voted for the I, or ran down and voted for the L? You really think it made any difference? No. But what it did do was give the government the authority it desires to keep doing exactly what it's doing. When you ran down to that poll to vote, you said, okay, government, take all of my money you want to. I don't care what you do with it. Spend it wherever you want to. Take all of my money. Poison my children. Indoctrinate them in your public schools. Here, I support you. Here's your vote. How many of you people understand that every time you go in and cast a vote, you are saying that I believe that the government has the right to enforce its will on other people at the point of a gun, whether they want it or not? Regardless of what you want to say, folks, that's exactly what you're doing. You're endorsing that. Now, they have tricked you and indoctrinated you into thinking that, oh, if it's a D, it's special. If it's an R, it's special. Henry Kissinger didn't think so. He liked them all and worked for them all. And isn't it amazing that none other than George W. Bush, one of his favorite people was Henry Kissinger, used to spend a lot of time with him. And here was something I was thinking about today, folks. If I see one more YouTube or one more thing talking about how stupid that Joe Biden is when he speaks, I think I'm on an upchuck. You know why? Because from the year 2001 to the year 2009, we put up with one of the stupidest men that's ever been and said some of the stupidest things, and his name was George W. Bush. You know, we've got to let these OBGYNs get out there and make love to the American public, to the American women. What? One stupid statement after another. Did you Republicans care about that? No, not any more than the Democrats care about the stupid stuff that Joe Biden says today. Oh, Joe Biden was friends with both George W. Bush and, Henry Kissinger was friends with both Biden and Bush. Imagine that. And a lot of other presidents, including Obama. Big friends with the Clintons. But he was also, who brought him up into the American scene? Oh, this guy by the name of David Rockefeller. Rockefeller did that. Isn't that wonderful? And Rockefeller, David Rockefeller's illegitimate son is named, oh, gosh, William Jefferson Clinton. Well, let's keep it all in the family here. So there we see even more and more and more of this. People, I don't understand how we can continue to allow this to happen. Well, the reason we can continue to allow this to happen is because we're a nation of cowards. We're always wanting somebody else to do the hard work because we've got football to watch. We've got other stuff to do. My goodness, why should we be involved in taking care of our country? No, let's don't do anything. There was a guy in the 1990s, I was trying to think of his name a little while ago, who wrote a beautiful column called A Nation of Cowards. Wow, isn't that strange? A Nation of Cowards. Well, you know what we have now in America today? Not a nation of cowards, but we've got a nation of girly men and willing slaves. Yep. Sorry, folks. Truth hurts. Wear it. That's the way it goes. But let me jump back to what I was talking about before and talking about, you know, the prisoners of war and the missing in action situation. I remember in the 80s when I began to see that Russia was ending up with all of our very highly educated POWs from Vietnam. These electronics warfare officers, these geniuses, were all, once they were shot down, once they were captured, they didn't even show up in the prison system in Hanoi. They went straight to Moscow. And we knew it. Everyone in our government knew where they were going. Who told you? Did anybody tell you that's where they were going? Did anybody say, hey, you know, well, these guys, when they get shot down, these POWs, you know, they may be in Hanoi or they may be in Moscow. We're not really sure. Did they tell you that? No, they didn't. And, you know, this was the time, folks, where I really thought, seriously, this is when I really thought that, you know, something is really going to, you know, this is going to wake up the American people. The American people is not going to tolerate this. Of course, at that time, I was pretty ignorant myself. I was totally ignorant about the POWs from World War II that Eisenhower lied about and allowed those men to be tortured, murdered, used for medical experiments. Whatever the Russians wanted to do, they were allowed to do it. Patton lied for them because, I'm sorry, not Patton. Eisenhower lied for them because, you know, wow, we're okay. We're okay. Yeah, we'll get them back. Yeah, no, we won't. Because you lied and said they weren't there, Ike. And then what did the American public do for you? Elected you president. Imagine that. And why did the Republican Party in 1952 pick Eisenhower? Why did they pick him when his opponent in the primary, their primary goal was to rid this country of the Federal Reserve? That's right. 1952 Republican primary. Go back and check it out. They wanted to get rid. The vice presidential candidate was, believe it or not, Douglas MacArthur. And I'm trying to think of the presidential candidate. Pardon me, I know he's from Pennsylvania, but his mind skips. It just, his name skips my mind at the moment. But, yes. So the Republican Party got rid of the guys who wanted to get rid of the Federal Reserve. And they picked Eisenhower for president. Imagine that. You think anything might have had anything in there whatsoever might have had something to do with him lying through his teeth about the American servicemen that were left behind? You think that might have happened? Well, the one thing I remember was back then I kept thinking something's going to happen. So the American public, because think if for those of you who are of the age that you were watching TV in the early 80s, stop and think about all of the POW movies that were out there. My gosh, there were at least so many of them, it's hard to believe. Behind Enemy Lines, A Case of Honor, The Deer Hunter, Faith of My Fathers, The Hanoi Hilton, Limbo, Missing in Action, Missing in Action 2, The Beginning, Rambo, and then Rambo First Blood, Part 2, Rescue Dawn, Return with Honor, Uncommon Valor. Folks, it was everywhere. And in almost every one of those movies, they pointed out the fact that the government had lied about these men and left them behind. Now, was those movies there to inform you or to entertain you because you said, oh, must be fiction, it's on a movie? Well, it sure made Norris and what's his name, the made Mr. Rambo, made them a lot of money. Sylvester Stallone made them a lot of money, an awful lot of money. Gene Hackman made a ton off of Uncommon Valor. Americans were watching it, but that's all they were doing. Nothing else. Doing nothing else. So here, I'm going to jump into kind of an article that I wrote at one time. And I think it is relevant. And it says, often in conversations with good friends, subjects arise that take me back to the memories of previous articles I have written and programs I have done. Yesterday was just such an occurrence. Below is an article that I wrote many years ago. I was also struck by a comment I recently read about the upcoming election in which, now folks, this is 2016. I was also struck by a comment I recently read about the upcoming election in which the subject of foreign policy experience was brought up. Considering the fact that we have been mired in a perpetual war for 21 or 22 years now, that has brought death and destruction on a global level, a suffocating debt, unprotected borders, and millions of refugees who are about to destroy our culture and bring untold violence to our streets in America. I really don't want someone as a chief executive who has that kind of experience. Our government is not run by any person elected by the people. It is run by a power cabal, which also owns and controls our electoral process. Professor Carol Quigley, in his wonderful work in the 60s called Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, informed us of that most adroitly half a century ago. Yet we continue to plod along as if overwhelming evidence which corroborates this fact does not exist. It was this power cabal that ordered the assassination of one of our most brilliant battlefield commanders. And do you care? What can be said of a government that participated in that assassination, but also worked? But also worked to conceal the facts surrounding their crimes from their constituents. So here it is, that article that I wrote some years back. As a point of clarification, it should be noted I once served as a board member for the American Foundation for the Accountability of Prisoners of War and Missing in Action in the 1980s, a position I held after leaving government intelligence work, a position which brought me in contact with several of our returned POWs from Vietnam and recollections of their experiences. Please pay close attention to the quotes which begin this article, especially the words of Aristotle, and how those words pertain to our country today. How many of the aims of Aristotle's tyrant have been achieved? For you see, the world is governed by very different personages from what is imagined by those who are not behind the scenes. Benjamin Disraeli. Let's look at another quote. The real rulers in Washington are invisible and exercise power from behind the scenes. Supreme Court Justice Felix Felix Frankfurter. Now, here's the quote. Another one. The three aims of the tyrant are, one, the humiliation of his subjects. Well, that's happened. Just look back over the past 3 years. He knows that a mean-spirited man will not conspire against anybody. Two, the creation of mistrust among them, for a tyrant is not to be overthrown until men begin to have confidence in one another. And this government has made darn sure that that doesn't happen, splitting us on every point that they possibly can. And this is the reason why tyrants are at war with the good. They are under the idea that their power is endangered by the good, not only because they will not be ruled despotically, but also because they are too loyal to one another and to other men and do not inform against one another or against other men. Three, the tyrant desires that all his subjects shall be incapable of action, for no one attempts what is impossible, and they will not attempt to overthrow a tyranny if they feel themselves powerless. Well, obviously that is true, because people here ain't doing nothing. Pardon my Appalachian phraseology there. I openly admit I do not believe our government or their media lapdogs when it comes to what really happened involving TWA 800, the Oklahoma City bombing, 9/11, Waco, the shootings in Aurora or Sandy Hook, the bombing in Boston, or the bombing of the fertilizer plant in Waco many years ago. Those were false flag operations. Sure, the easy way out is to believe anything the government says is gospel. That requires little to no cognitive discourse. And of course, the last thing the species ignoramus americanus wants is anything that might require the use of a few cells in their old gray matter. There are a multitude of reasons I disbelieve our government and the media when it comes to events such as those named above. But for brevity's sake, I will mention only one in this writing. What positive can be said, or what integrity granted to a government that willingly leave its military personnel behind in the hands of its enemy, then not only makes no attempt to gain their freedom, but instead fabricates lies to cover their crimes of omission and discredits those who attempt to reveal the truth? A government that would leave its own behind to face torture and death at the hands of their enemy is totally undeserving of not only trust, but even the slightest benefit of a doubt. The pattern of overwhelming and continuous mendacity reference our missing military personnel began over 100 years ago, back in 1920. Shortly after World War I, Russia was in the midst of a terrible famine. Although previously denying they held any American POWs from World War I, when offered food and medicine, the Russians released 100 captive Americans after receipt of the first shipment of provisions. Although more food was shipped to Russia, no additional POWs were ever released. Rather than admit to their lack of diligence in securing the release of those POWs after the war, the government officials simply declared there were no more being held, a tactic that would continue with this government for decades. In 1945, while marching to take Berlin, in large part due to political military considerations granted to the Soviets by the socialist-dominated FDR administration, some 25,000 American POWs were liberated into the hands of the Russian army. Of that 25,000, only 4,165 of those military personnel were actually repatriated from the camp at Ryazan. The Russians put the remaining 21,000 on troop trains and took them into Russia, where they were used for slave labor, medical experiments, human guinea pigs, and other fates much worse than death on the battlefield. Allied political sources then went to work to alter intelligence reports to cover up these heinous acts. Both FDR and Truman issued directives that there would be, and I quote, no criticism of treatment by the Russians, and, I quote again, no retaliatory action to Russian failure to cooperate. Really? our government said we will not tolerate any action if Russia refused to give us our men back? Now, what's my source on that, you might say? Well, it's a book called A Chain of Prisoners, From Yalta to Vietnam by John Brown and Ted Ashworth, both gentlemen that I met when I was with the POW/MIA movement. General George Patton knew of this betrayal of American military personnel and is reported to have confronted General Eisenhower at a train station in Germany, where the argument became most heated, according to an eyewitness. That eyewitness was one Bert C. Roosen, R-O-O-S-E-N. He was an interpreter on Eisenhower's staff. Speculation exists that this may have been the reason for Patton's assassination. My source on that would be Target Patton, the plot to assassinate General George S. Patton by Robert K. Wilcox, full of good documented information. Our political leadership fell all over themselves to assure the Russians were never accused of anything untoward and that millions in Eastern Europe were delivered into the hands at the end of the war, many of them to be summarily executed. Operation Keel Haul, people. Read it. Read it and see for yourself. It's there. And, you know, I know it's tough for people to look at this and to actually think, you know, that our government would do this. But you better believe our government would do this. So here's the thing. The release of the information about 21,000 plus Americans being left to a terrible fate at the hands of the Russians would have been a death knell to any political aspirations of those covering up those crimes. Obviously, Eisenhower would have never been elected president of the United States had the American people known in 1952 that he had covered up the kidnapping of over 20,000 American military personnel. As president, Eisenhower would continue to cover up the fate of those left to the Russians, which would later necessitate a similar cover-up of those left to the Chinese and the North Koreans during the Korean War. These prisoners were used for torture, biological and chemical agent experiments, as well as mind control operations. Colonel Phil Corso, C-O-R-S-O, a member of Eisenhower's White House staff, would later speak to these cover-ups. He would state it became a matter of national policy to ignore all intelligence concerning these acts and to simply deny any POWs were left behind. Huh. Then came Vietnam, and the madness and the deceit would continue. In 1973, after Operation Homecoming, Dr. Roger Shields of the Department of Defense would tell President Nixon, again, people in the National Archives, quote, "Mr. President, we have two missing for every man who came back home in Operation Homecoming." Nixon ignored the statement and then, like those lying bastards before him, issued a statement that, quote, "all our POWs are home," unquote. I remember that so distinctly. To completely cover the POW/MIA issue would require a volume of works, I promise you. The mendacity, the prevarication, and possible assassinations by our government surrounding this subject is emotionally overwhelming. Well, here comes that music, folks. We shall be back on the other side. Thank you for tuning in to RBN. Thank you, folks.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less valuable its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
Fantastic, folks. There we are playing one of those great songs from my high school days. Yeah, that is just absolutely fantastic. I certainly appreciate that one. Welcome back to the National Intel Report here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And I want to jump right back in. To completely cover the POW-MIA issue would require a volume of books. The mendacity, prevarication, and possible assassinations by our government surrounding this subject is emotionally overwhelming. That is, if you care one scintilla about what happens to those who are blindly sent into the jaws of hell for nothing more than political expediency. After being properly driven into a patriotic frenzy by the same devils who create false flag events, which have taken the lives of tens of thousands, many of them innocent children. Hand me my tinfoil hat, folks. I wear it proudly. I do not blindly believe the words of master politicians who have never seen a shot fired in anger and who are more than willing to see their fellow Americans not only die in battle, but be used for torture, medical experiments after the wars are over for others, all in the name of national security. Always remember, when they speak of security, it is theirs and never yours they're talking about. If you feel compelled to believe anything the politicians and the lapdog media tell you about Aurora, Colorado, Sandy Hook, Connecticut, 9/11, OKC bombing, the Boston Marathon, TWA 800, and I could go on forever, because you lack the courage to face the truth, you have become one of the splendid dupes mentioned by Chesterton in this quote. Listen to this, people. This is so good. And I quote, "Evil always wins through the strength of its splendid dupes. And there has in all ages been a disastrous alliance between abnormal innocence and abnormal sin," unquote. I find little truth or consolation in the facts presented by a government who would leave its military personnel in the hands of their enemies to be tortured and subjected to all forms of heinous experimentation. Perhaps, people, if it had been your brother, your sister, your father, your mother, your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife, or a friend who had been left to this fate worse than death by the government you view as trustworthy, you might not blindly believe everything you hear coming from the mouths of politicians and the talking plastic heads on the lobotomy box. And I'll finish that one off with a quote from CIA Director William Colby, not Casey, Colby this time. And here's the quote. "The Central Intelligence Agency owns everyone of any significance in the major media," unquote. Now, people, why won't you believe that? They tell you the truth and you won't believe it. Of course, that's nothing uncommon. We're seeing that over and over and over again in this country, with the fact that no one wants to believe the truth anymore. It just doesn't fit well, does it? It doesn't fit well with the lies that you would prefer to believe. And folks, I'm going to jump into something as we look at this today. And I was thinking about this, you know, the contrast, as I mentioned before, between George W. Bush and his tons of Bushisms and Joe Biden. And now, you know, the Democrats, look at that stupid guy. He can't even put words together. Well, where were they for the 8 years that George W. was in charge? Where were the complaints then, Republicans? Which proves unequivocally that you don't think, you feel. And I've looked at so many other examples. And here's an example I'm going to give you, folks. And I'm certainly not going to mention any names in this, but most of you will figure it out on your own. But let's stop and think about something. Now, I'm supposed to believe that there's this guy who just hates Jews with a passion. And yet, he said that Israel told the truth about the USS Liberty, and all of the survivors of the USS Liberty were pathological liars. He still has credit. People still bring him on talk radio. They still listen to a man who's done that. And let's stop and think about another one here. What about a guy who was very close friends with Eric Holder and Obama and was, given a job in Homeland Security and was reported to have been involved in Operation Fast and Furious, which put guns in the hands of the drug cartels in Mexico, one of which was used to kill a Border Patrol agent by the name of Brian Terry? Oh, but, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then this wonderful guy at the Department of Homeland Security puts on his personal blog that he would like to see the genocide of the entire white race. Yes, that's what he said. And you know, folks, I have looked diligently. I can find nowhere whatsoever that he has ever physically said and told people, okay, I'm wrong. I was wrong about that. Now, the guy who published his book will tell you he's changed his mind, but he's never said it. Now, what in the world? And this same guy is a big supporter of Abraham Lincoln and, you know, Reconstruction. Abraham Lincoln and Reconstruction were run by the Jewish bankers. He supports people. If you understand history, how can you believe these people for 15 seconds? How can you see a man as credible who says that all of those veterans on that USS Liberty, that they're all pathological liars? None of them saw what was really going on. They were there. He wasn't. But he supports Israel. But he hates Jews. Oh, my goodness. Let's see. What is Mossad's motto again? By deception, we make war. But you know the thing that really got to me about all of that? Is the fact that both of those people that I mentioned, the Homeland Security guy and the other guy, are both still given credibility. People still bring them on their radio programs. They still talk to them. They still give them credibility so other people can hear them. Why? Any true American who would stand up for America wouldn't have anything to do with a man who says that Israel is telling the truth and all of those veterans are liars. Think about it. I mean, give it some thought. I mean, look at all the other complete lies that Americans are willing to believe over and over and over again. I mean, look at it. How many people, you know, when we look at all of these things that's happened, we look at all of the lies that surround all of them. We know, if we will look at history, that we were lied into World War I by the international bankers. Well, the international bankers took over the Civil War in 1862, and they made so much money off of it that the American government didn't get their end of that bill paid for the Civil War until 1932. So what? Only took about, gosh, guys, about, what, 60, 70 years to pay off that debt? No problem. Let's just start another one. Let's get another debt. That's what wars are created for, debt and power. That's why we have wars. And yet, you turn around and look, and here is this wonderful American public who immediately believes everything that's said by these plastic talking heads on national television. What's it going to take? What's it going to take for people to wake up? I just don't understand it. Let me tell you one thing. If I had a relative who had been on the USS Liberty and survived, or didn't survive, if I just had a relative that would have been on there, I would never, ever, ever listen to anyone who said they were liars. How can they have any credibility whatsoever in your mind? He wasn't there, but he knows more about what happened than the people who were there. How stupid do you have to be to believe that? But you do. And we look at this. We look at these things. We look at things that are just physical impossibilities. We know the wars are started on lies. We still support war. Why? Why do you support war? I'll never forget 2003, Farmington, New Mexico. I had a good friend there. Mitch Gans, Special Forces medic. God rest his soul. I mean, he got so messed up in Iraq with poison weapons that he said were ours, not the enemy's, poison gases. He had all kind. He had at least four different surgeries on his brain. We went to, my wife and I went to California and got him out of the hospital after his wife had put him there because she couldn't deal with him. She didn't have any problem dealing with his retirement and his medical disability, but she couldn't deal with him. So my wife and I drove to California and we got him and brought him to live with us. And he lived with us for a year. But I took him downtown when all this happened, and we were down there. And here's a man in a walker. And he was walking around the streets talking to people who had never seen a shot fired in anger, trying to tell them this war in Iraq is wrong. You need to pay attention. His life was threatened by these people. Why don't you move to somewhere? Get out of here. We don't want you in here. You're anti-American. Is anti-American telling the truth? Is there anything at all about this that makes any sense? I mean, how can anybody be free? Because cowards are never free. They're always entrapped by their cowardice. And look at the millions of people in this country who don't want to know the truth. Whatever you do, don't tell me. Because it might make me unpleasant, and I don't want to be unpleasant. How does that happen, people? I just don't understand. I really, truly do not understand. Absolutely. So why do we continue to do this? Where is this hope? This hopium that Americans are hooked on. How many people I know right here in my home state of Georgia, I promise you right now, there are more people concerned about whether Georgia wins the football game tomorrow so that they could be, you know, national champions 3 years in a row than they care about anybody who was left behind. As a POW, they could care less. They don't mind. Their minds have been stolen by the lobotomy box. Their minds have been stolen by schools. Their minds have been stolen by Marxist colleges. And the one thing that has worked so well in their indoctrination is they have what I used to refer to as the Seinfeld-Costanza disease. And that is, if they believe something, it can't be a lie. Now listen to them. They will tell you that in so many words on so many occasions. They will tell you that. I've had people tell me when I show them the actual physical documents, copies of, from the National Archives, with a National Archives stamp in the corner. One gentleman in particular where I put down something that Thomas Jefferson had written, and he said, well, I don't care what he wrote. That's not true. What? And then I asked him for his source. Oh, well, you know, well, it's just not true. I know it's not true. Well, how do you know it's not true? I know it's not true. How? And then they walk off. Or they get angry at you, as like yesterday, and I had someone tell me, he said, oh, you're just a know-it-all. No, I'm not. There's so many things I don't know that really trouble me. But I have the courage to look for the truth. And I do my due diligence looking out for the truth. And I look for corroborative evidence on the truth. I don't spend my days watching football, baseball, cars go real fast in a circle. I don't do that. I did once in my life. It was, you know, big stuff for me. But then I realized my country was going to hell and my kids and grandkids were going to have to live in it. Now, here's the one thing history tells me, and I am a student of history, is that revolution never starts with a majority. The majority always, in any type of revolution, just like in the American Revolution, the majority gets dragged behind, kicking and screaming, not wanting anything to do with it. I mean, look, Patrick Henry opposed the Stamp Act in the Virginia House of Burgesses, 1765, opposed the Stamp Act. What did the legislature, what did the House of Burgesses, which was a legislature in Virginia, what did they call him? Treason, treason. He opposed paying taxes to the king, and he was a traitor. Well, I oppose paying taxes to the king. Here, call him whatever you want to. Patrick Henry, I think it was, who also said, "Away with your president, we shall have a king," and we do, although we have a figurehead who acts as that king. He has about as much say-so in what goes on in the government as my barbecue sandwich here. He has nothing. He is a puppet. They are puppets. And the puppets, the only reason the puppets are there is to keep you involved in the process. Because then you get to go, "Oh, I got to get that stupid Democrat out of office." But you didn't say anything about the stupid Republican that was there for 8 years. You talked about a stolen election in 2000. I mean, stolen election in 2020, but you didn't say anything about an election in 2000 where the Supreme Court told the states to stop counting votes. That's all right if your guy wins. Cheating is all right if your guy wins. We've proved it both sides. Republicans don't mind if their guy gets in by cheating. Democrats don't mind if their guy gets in by cheating. So what difference does it make? Why do you even care? It just, folks, I'm sorry. I'm getting to be an old man. No, I'm not sorry. I'm getting to be an old man here. And I have the fortune of hindsight. And I look at this stuff and I shake my head. And sometimes it wakes me up 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I go, is this real? Are Americans really this stupid? Or are they just simply cowards? Well, now it would be hard for you to prove that there's not a whole bunch of Americans that are not little girly boys. I think we have ample evidence that that is true. Courage? When's the last time an American voter showed any courage? They don't have it. Because they believe. And here's another thing about those wonderful folks, too, those wonderful cowards, those girly boys, is when it comes time for the hard work, they want you to do it. Not them. How many times in the last 40 years when I talk about the corruption of this government have I had people say, "Well, okay, I hear what you're saying, but what's your plan?" Well, sir, if you were in your house and the basement was on fire, and you were in the top floor with your children and your family, and I was able to awaken you and tell you that the house was on fire, would you ask me what my plan was for getting out? Nope. But when your country is burning down around you, you want somebody else to do the heavy lifting. "I don't want to do that. No, no. The TV's on." Who? You know, gosh, who knows? We've got a lobotomy box in here. We've got to watch this lobotomy box. PSYOP after PSYOP has turned America into a land of blithering idiots. If you don't believe it, get on the interstate and drive for about 100 miles and see how many blithering idiots you see behind the wheel of an automobile. people cannot deal logically anymore, because we have come to the point in this country, to the point to where everyone is on an emotional level. They don't care about logic. They don't care about logic one way or the other. It's how do I feel about this situation? And of course, we infested the educational system with that wonderful, you know, nobody can hurt anybody's feelings. You can't say anything that would hurt anybody's feelings. And what does the truth do? The truth always hurts your feelings. So you have been given a shell to protect you from the truth. And you implement it over and over and over again, time after time after time. And yet, you think, and that is the reason, the very reason that the government provided a vote, so that people would actually think they were doing something. When has your vote ever changed? And if you really think your government's different, how could 11 consecutive presidents have the same man as one of their advisors? Both sides. How does that work? And I think I mentioned before, you know, that originally George W. Bush wanted to put him as the lead guy on the 9/11 commission. Now, why would he do that? Why would he want him to be the lead of the 9/11? And have you folks, are you aware that in the 9/11 official report, there is no mention whatsoever of World Trade Center Building Number 7? Really? Yeah, that's true. It's not even mentioned. And Americans, I don't really understand you anymore. I don't understand you. You know, and every once in a while, I have to go back and look at, you know, all of the different events and stuff that have happened. But America's ready to go to war right now. They've been lied into wars my entire lifetime. One lie after another took them into another war. They may have lost family, they may have lost friends, they may have lost neighbors. But they don't care. Let's do it again. Let's kill somebody else's children this time, okay, guys? Well, I think I hear that music in the background, folks. We'll be back with you on the flip side. Support RBN. Thank you.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.